Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Curious Conversations with Tully and Sarah.
We sit down and chat with business owners, entrepreneurs, and some of the best conversation starters.
This is a podcast about real life lessons and people doing cool shit.
Happy Wednesday, our little Curious Conversationers. It's Sarah for this episode. As you all know, Tull has had her little baby Roller. And while we tried to record as many episodes as we could while she was still working, there was this particular one that we just couldn't tee up, but we wanted to get this done for you guys because it is so informative. And I know I've teased everyone with my guru health practitioner, chiro kinesiologist all over socials and wouldn't give his name out unless people asked, which I did. But here he is. We have Stephen on the podcast. He's transformed my health and wellness, and we'll dive into that. He works with many famous athletes and celebs who we can't name, but I'm pretty sure I have on social media, so you all know. This episode is a lot to probably decipher, and you might have to listen to it twice, but it is a game changer if you're looking at changing your health. And I don't want to take up too much of your time, so enjoy the episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, do all those things that Tull usually tells us to do, and enjoy the episode. Steve, welcome to Curious Conversations.
Thank you for having me.
I'm sorry Tully's not here. She wanted to be on, but you're a hard man to lock down.
I am. My apologies.
So very Tully's busy. Just had her baby, so it's just you and I.
So congratulations, Tully.
Yes, little baby Roller. She's finally in the world.
Beautiful.
I've mentioned you on social media for quite a time now as my magic doctor.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you – how would you describe what you do?
Well, I predominantly say that I'm an applied kinesiologist. I use functional manual muscle testing as a form of assessing the body's nervous system and functionality, be it biochemistry, we assess emotional states and the physical structure itself. You know, at the end of the day, I'm a chiropractor as well. So it's learning how to integrate all those aspects into health and well-being. So that's why really I'm more of an integrative doctor these days than a chiropractor. Like some people walk into the clinic, they're going, oh my God, I didn't realize I was seeing a chiropractor. Well, chiropractic is where applied kinesiology stemmed from. It's where it was created by George Goodhart. And it's an amazing technique that's now gone global and used by, if you're an applied kinesiologist, you'll be a medical doctor, a chiropractor, an osteopath, a physiotherapist, a psychologist, a Chinese doctor, a podiatrist as well. So a certain level of education to be able to diagnose and treat.
What's the difference between kinesiology and applied kinesiology? And
that's it. So applied kinesiologists are those sort of practitioners that learn the principles of applied kinesiology, where a kinesiologist will use the principles, but it's a layperson. It's like you going to learn how to use a muscle test to assess stress on the body.
So is kinesiology about energy and frequency within the body?
It's really about the nervous system. So people think of it as energy work, but really we're assessing the nervous system. So George Goodhart, who was a chiropractor, was wondering why do muscles and joints go out of alignment and how can we best stabilize it? So he calls it the five factors of the IVF, the intervertebral foramina. In that, he saw that there were osteopathic influences, there were chiropractic influence, there were physiotherapy influences, there was definitely integrative medical and medical influences. And then the interesting one that he looked at was Chinese medicine. He was like, well, there's this energy system within the body that really is influencing your nervous system. And that's one of the keys of where what you're talking about, the energy systems group. and where more kinesiology has flourished in, where you'll see a kinesiologist, and I've got a kinesiologist, a very experienced one in my clinic, Isabel, and people will see her for about an hour and she does more energy work and balancing of emotional states.
Yep.
Okay. I'll still do some of those emotional corrections, but not to the extent that she will. So for me, people come to me more for structure and biochemistry and overall wellness and health.
With kinesiology, you obviously do emotional work, but then is that included in food intolerances? When you have my arm up and you tap it down to see what dairy and that's doing to my body, is that applied kinesiology?
Yeah, that's applied kinesiology. So any challenge, because that's what you're doing. You're putting a challenge mechanism into the body. You can do it orally. You can do it through scent and smell. You can do it. There are so many ways to influence the nervous system. And that's what we're doing. We're working on a one alpha firing motor neuron and through touch. And we're using different challenges, be it biochemistry, be it emotional influence and state through the limbic system, or be it purely through structure where I'm pushing on a joint or a muscle and seeing how it functions.
So when you ask a specific question, say if it's emotional related and you're pushing down an arm, when the arm gives way, does that signify something's wrong there?
Sometimes it signifies something wrong and sometimes it can mean something's right. So it depends. These things are always up to interpretation.
Yep.
And that's why you need a skilled practitioner to really interpret and evaluate things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So the level of training I've got being a diplomat in applied kinesiology means, you know, I've passed certain international board exams in biochemistry and in all those different fields to make sure that I can teach it, and two, that I'm capable of interpreting the information really well.
Mm. So why do most people come to you for kinesiology purposes? Is it diet, emotional?
Yeah, it's for
jet lag.
Yeah, spot on. So we can help people with jet lag. We can help people with their emotional states. I'd say the biggest thing that we're seeing today, whether it's in adults and children, is diet and nutritional advice and things that influence the way their biochemistry works. That's probably a huge area, especially post-COVID as well. You know, people with long COVID come and see us. People really want to understand why they're not as healthy as they have been.
Mm-hmm.
So most people would be for general health and well-being.
And that leads me to another question.
Yeah.
How does disease come about in the body? Because long before disease emerges, there's signs and symptoms.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, every naturopath, chiro, and everyone talks about a state of dis-ease before we get to disease.
Yeah.
And that state, so there's, you know, you've got health in one area and you've got disease on the other. And there's that big grey area where the body is always trying to bring you back to health. Your body is designed to be healthy.
Mm.
There is definitely an area where the body tips over into that disease state where you do need, you know, a good understanding of medicine and seeing your GP and your medical specialists. But while you're seeing those, quite often a lot of people still see us to make sure that they're staying as healthy as they can be through various treatments, you know, and we've got good knowledge to help guide them through those pathways as well.
What are those things that tip you into disease?
Well, definitely diet, lifestyle is probably the biggest.
Yep.
You know, stress, which is the big question mark these days, but there's a lot of work being done in that field as well, our understandings of what stress does to the body, you know, working long hours. But really it's the chemicals in our food, it's the chemicals in our products, be it hair, you know, name it. These all things, depending on your body and your genetics, you may be able to process that stuff well. You might not be able to process it well at all. So people come trying to search for answers in those fields. And that's where we try to provide. We try to work out, like you also said, you know, like EMFs and electromagnetic frequencies these days are pretty full on to certain people that are susceptible to it. And again, we guide them through it. We've got ways of actually helping them and herbs we give them to help them not be so susceptible.
When people are susceptible, what can they do to protect themselves?
Well, there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you see online these days. Like on my phone, I've got an EMF protector.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard case. You can't charge your phone through it, like it blocks everything. So something like that is a good device, you know, because a lot of males, we keep everything in our pockets.
Yep.
So for it not to affect local tissues and so on, I've got a cover for it. You know, there are other people where you'll see these little EMF stickers. A lot of those don't change the frequency, but change the way it is around your body and around the phone. So there's all these different devices that are used to help people through that.
So we're exposed to things in our environment, like you just said, that create disease.
Yeah.
What creates disease within the body? Is it inflammation? Is it a change in pH? What is it that creates disease?
I'd say probably the biggest one is inflammation. Okay. You know, there are so many factors. But it's that constant inflammation that's causing damage to cellular structure and to your DNA that you've got to be most aware of and careful with. So this is where, you know, people go, you know, but so-and-so eats Doritos and all it's sorry, Doritos, let's say fast food, all the time. And they seem to get away with it. Well, really no one does get away with it long-term. You know, you might be able to eat certain things for a long period of time, but according to your genetics, inflammation will be created, and that inflammation will damage cellular structure, can damage DNA. If your DNA is damaged, then you're not going to be able to transcribe and write the sort of proteins that you need, and that will lead to disease.
And that's where it comes back to what we were saying before. Disease is underlying before you ever see
it. By miles.
Yeah.
So for some people, it could take, unfortunately, only 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, really, you're looking at 10, 15, 20 years. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's understanding your lifestyle choices and really modifying them. So when people come to me, you know, not many people are going to walk into my office without me modifying their diet for a period.
Oh.
It could be 6 weeks, 3 months, 9 months, a year. But it's really a journey of them understanding their body and what influences their body, and then they can make the right decisions and choices.
What's the first thing to go in the diet?
In general, what I would choose, if I could take people off one thing, and I'll get in trouble from this from the dairy company, but it would be dairy for me.
Why dairy?
Just because dairy creates so much inflammation within the body, and so many people have genetic predispositions to be either lactose intolerant or lactose sensitive. Casein sensitive or whey sensitive. And we're just seeing that. Now, look, the companies are doing great. They've brought out A2 milk. They've, you know, they're trying to understand where people are reacting. You know, they've got now lactose-free milk and lactose-free cheeses and all these. And thankfully those products are there because we get people back onto all of those products.
Yep.
But dairy is probably one of the big ones. Second one would be gluten. Really, only 5% of people should be off gluten, but we've got here in Australia, I think the stats are around 40% of people are choosing to either go off gluten or limit it, and they shouldn't need to, yeah? The problem with gluten is really the chemicals in our farming that are affecting the bacteria that help us break down gluten and the amount of gluten that's now in our foods. So when I was younger, which is quite a while ago now, you know, most breads were sourdoughs. They didn't have as many chemicals in the food. So I could eat, you know, bread till it's coming out of my ears.
Mm.
Now I'm very careful how much of that or any grains that I'll actually consume.
Do you start with the diet because the gut is one of the main players?
Yeah, I mean, the gut controls the brain just as much as the brain controls the gut. So you've got that, you know, they call it the second brain.
Yep.
So having good gut health tells you that someone's going to be generally good elsewhere.
Mm.
Not many people are going to come in with a lot of inflammation if their diet's pretty good. You know, they might injure themselves in the gym or that sort of stuff. Great, we can work through that, get the biomechanics and that right, and away they go.
How do you know if you've got high inflammation without getting tested?
Well, that's what we do in our clinic. So our aim is to assess where that inflammation's coming from.
Yep.
Is it a normal level of inflammation according to their injury, if they've come in with an injury, or what's actually going on in their body? So I'll assess, you know, again, biochemistry. We ask, you know, it's a full history and questionnaire that we put you through to ascertain really where am I starting with this individual and what's of most important. You know, is it more diet or is this purely an injury where I'm going to do something musculoskeletally?
Yep. Because I messaged you the other week because one of my girlfriends is contemplating having her boobs out and she's like, I want to know my inflammation levels
yep.
because so many women now are saying that foreign things in your body can cause inflammation.
Yeah, I mean, anything foreign to the body, your body's going to try to work out why is it there. You know, and this comes down to your immune system. So my first degree was a science degree where I majored in microimmunovirology, anatomy, histology, and exercise physiology. So I've got a good understanding in those areas, but it's your immune system that's at work when you're talking about these sort of things and these sort of products. Now, the medical system does try to put the least foreign thing into your body that your body's going to react to. And that's why there's a lot of testing before they use like silicone breasts and so on. But there's a lot of history there and we're starting to see these sort of diseases coming through and being noted in the literature as well. Mm. So really, there is no one test to test for inflammation according to breast implants. You could test the material, you couldn't test, but there are other inflammatory markers that we can assess, like cytokine tests, rather than just your CRP and your ESR that most doctors will do in a blood test. So we try to evaluate things further. Again, as an applied kinesiologist, I've got other challenge mechanisms that I'll use to really ascertain, is this causing the individual a problem?
What would you do?
I could literally like physically challenge the breast and see if the tissue's under strain, if it's causing problems and blowing out the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
We could use a bit of that material to assess to see how the body responds to it.
Mm.
But really, when you're getting to inflammation, I'd want to do probably further testing and labs to see, is there a level of inflammation in the body and could that be a cause for it?
You don't know this, but Brock, yeah. A boy on your reception told me this the other week when I came in. He was talking about gold and getting a gold filling in your mouth.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know. Steve just wound it off these words of why he will not get gold in his mouth.
Yeah, well, yeah. So
foreign body again.
Well, I had I've only got one filling and I had a crown put in and I was told to, you know, it'd be better if I had a gold alloy. And I didn't really want any metal in my mouth because it could react, and we actually do this with a voltmeter, which is a nice little test to show people how any metal in their mouth, if they're wearing jewelry, can react. And this is, to create a battery, you've got to remember you need metal,
mm-hmm.
you need salt, and you need water.
They're all things in your body.
Spot on. And in saliva, you're going to have almost that salty solution combined with metal. So you're creating a battery. Now, really, within the mouth, if I only had the gold, it's not going to really react with that much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a problem. But the minute you add other metal in your body, and we do that, we put one part of the voltage meter on the crown of the alloy, we put it on a ring or something else, and all of a sudden you see it go through the roof.
Oh.
We put on earrings and other things and show them how different metals can really react. It's like people who have retainers, you know, the metal wires for after their braces and that. You know, I say use Invisalign. Retainers more than the wires.
I've actually heard that for inflammation that people with the wires on the back of their mouth should have them removed.
Well, you've got to remember everything has to be integrated in your midbrain, all afferent input. So the more you start putting extra information into that system, over time you're going to overload it, especially as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're younger, yes, you can be a little bit more carefree with these things. But again, I've got some kids that react to these things. I've had professional sports people react to these things. The minute we remove them, we've removed the problems. You know, by removing an amalgam out of the tooth, we've helped them with a disc problem in their spine. So, you know, the influence can be far away from where you think the problem is. And this is why I love applied kinesiology, because we can try to work out really what is stressing the body and to what extent.
So if someone came into you with a bad back or a slip disc or something, you would ask if they've got any feelings or anything in their mouth?
Yeah, I mean, I do a full history. So I'll ask them a full review of systems where I'll ask them about, you know, ears, eyes, digestion, everything first.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll ask them, I always get an overall picture of the individual, and then I'll ask them about their pain, when it started, how it started, what the trauma was, what set it off, all of these things. And I want to see if there's any other correlating factors that influence that injury. So the disc is not just inflamed. Usually, again, we're now starting to understand there's immune issues around that disc. There's quite often viruses, bacteria, mycobacterium, other things, anything in the body will find an area of weakness
mm-hmm.
and prey on that area, which causes degeneration and breakdown of tissues. Yeah.
Right.
So it's not as simple as, oh, I've just got an injury, I'll just take an anti-inflammatory and I'll be healed. You might reduce the pain at that moment, but that degenerative process and that weakness might be there still. Mm. And that's what we want to get on top of to really give that person long-lasting health and good effects.
Yeah, right. So that's where the optimal health for the long term.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what we preach, you know, like, you know, some people see me on a fortnightly basis, other people monthly, other people every 6 monthly. People will use us as they feel they need to, according to, you know, how healthy they want to stay. What we try to do in clinic is educate people over time. So they're just making good choices.
Mm.
If you're making good choices, you don't have to see me very often. You're making average choices, you'll see me more often. Yeah. And you'll see any practitioner more often, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, to go to someone with a shoulder discomfort and keep, you know, doing the same thing and not getting a result is kind of silly.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. A lot of people come to me because I've seen their physio for a long period of time with a shoulder problem and didn't realize it was a gallbladder issue or it was something else. Yeah. So.
But how does that work? How, if your shoulder's out, is there a gallbladder issue?
Well, it's only the right shoulder that the gallbladder affects. And this is neurology as well as area of referral. So we know that the gallbladder is here, will refer to the right shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know it'll refer to medial knee. So understanding those patterns of visceral referral patterns gives you a better insight of what are you really assessing. And I have it with athletes because a lot of athletes go, you know, keto or more high fat,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't suit everyone. So all of a sudden we start to see these shoulder issues flowing up, and I assess the shoulder and I'm like, well, there's no problem with the shoulder. I push on the gallbladder and they jump.
Yeah, right.
So we know that all we have to do with them is reduce their fats for a little bit, even good fats and bad fats.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that subsides and we get it to where their body can actually manage their input.
Hmm. Speaking of athlete, you work with a number of famous athletes.
Yeah. So not really allowed to say who I work with, but I mean, if you go to our Instagram, you'll see them there.
Yeah.
But I worked with, you know, we've worked with top tennis players and I travel around the world with the tennis at the moment. We work with, you know, AFL,
boxers.
Netball, professional boxers, athletics, you know, the list goes on and on and on. So usually we, you know, I really am there for, my focus was to be more for family health, but we keep getting dragged back into sport because, again, it's about reducing inflammation, improving reaction time, you know, all those factors that an athlete really wants. And most athletes are looking for that extra edge in which to want to be better. And that's why, you know, athletes from around the world seek us out.
What do you think of cold plunge therapy and red light therapy for inflammation?
Love it.
Do you?
Yeah. So red light therapy, you know, has got the ticks on the board. It really does help reduce inflammation, help speed up. Like, I was just playing soccer with my son not even 6 weeks ago and I did a grade 3 tear to my medial collateral with some damage to the meniscus, used red light therapy, chiropractic. I didn't do the ice therapy, even though it is good. I'm a little bit of a sook on that level. But most athletes that I work with, you know, on the tennis circuit, they actually have plunge baths and cold nearly at every Grand Slam, yeah?
Yeah, right.
So you'll see that therapy used by a lot of athletes. They understand the benefits of it, especially after matches where a lot of their joints and their tissues will be inflamed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cooling it down and cryotherapy really helps quickly. The only time I wouldn't use it is if you've got a cold, you want more heat than cold.
Yeah, yeah? Okay.
So again, we might assess the immune system at those points, but yeah, I do, they're great. And that's the aim, what I want actually in my clinic down the track. You know, we've already got a sauna. I'd love to have a plunge bath there. We're going to get the red light therapy in and probably PMF mats, which are used around the world and not used that much here in Australia. And people really need to get onto that sort of technology. Gary Brecker talks about it, but so do many others. It's been around since the, from my recollection, the mid to late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pulsed electromagnetic frequencies. Now, there are some good ones. There are some poor ones. So don't go rush out and buying them because you can buy them quite cheaply. But, you know, the ones I was looking at, you know, comes out of the States. It's about $66,000 US.
Wow.
For a really good high quality. You can buy them as cheap as $5,000 or $10,000 Australian. But again, you want to do your research. You want to understand what you're buying rather than being swept up.
What do they
fad.
Do?
They basically recharge your cellular structure and can help you heal faster. So many people, you know, you listen to any biohacker and they're talking about all of these therapies like cold plunges, red light therapy, PMF, and the list goes on. There's lots of those sort of different techniques out there.
If it's to do with frequency, does it actually change the vibrational frequency of your body?
So this is where you've got to be careful and understand what you're dealing with. It's not going to really change it. It's going to work with the frequencies of your tissues to help promote healing.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to know what you're really dealing with. Like, we know there are frequencies, people listen to frequencies to help them relax.
Yep.
You know, there are frequencies for organ function and health, and there are optimal frequencies. And that's what, you know, it gets really excited when you start talking about frequencies and you're working in that space, because we know music that you listen to has been changed. They use a different frequency, which isn't the optimal frequency.
The word you say to yourself is frequency.
Absolutely. You know, self-love comes from frequency. Is frequency.
Yep.
We know water changes its crystalline structure due to if you say different words.
Mm-hmm.
Again, so it's pretty amazing what frequency does to the body. And a lot of science and health is moving down that pathway, which is a very exciting place to be at this time.
Welcome back, Chemist Warehouse, Picks of the Week. And it's just me because my psychic, obviously, is not here. She's on maternity leave. So naturally, I went with a product that I love. And it is to do with hair care, because everyone knows I'm on a hair care journey. There's not a week I don't do a hair mask now. Before, never even heard of it. But now it's my one non-negotiable. And Palmer's, who we all love for skincare, do a nourishing hair care range as well. They have these moisture boost protein packs, which is locked with antioxidants to help nourish the scalp and the hair follicles of your hair. So what you do is throw this in before you wash your hair, leave it in for a few hours, then do your wash, rinse, all that, repeat. It will leave your hair so soft, healthy, hydrated, stronger. The more you use it, it is honestly a game changer when you add a hair mask to your hair care routine. Available at Chemist Warehouse. Another pathway that science and medicine is going down, but you've been practicing it, I think, for 20 years, is, or I should say, our blood test, using a full blood test to analyze your genetics and then to be able to supplement for what your body actually needs.
Yeah, so, yeah, when we look at genetics, I got really excited in the early days, and, you know, there was Smart DNA, a company in Melbourne with Margie in the early days, really got that off the ground. But there were a lot of companies in that field now, and, you know, we've got naturopath testing, we've got, you know, bioceuticals, all these big companies have entered into that marketplace. Mm. You've got My DNA, obviously people know that one on a global scale. So your genetics is like a blueprint.
Yep.
And when I went through my science degree in the early 90s, genetics we thought was 50%, environment was 50%. We put it together and we know how healthy you're going to be. Now we look at that blueprint as probably more 30%. Your environment is 70%, which means what you do, how you do it, what you put inside of you is more important than your genes.
Yep.
But still understanding your genes, we can understand what that environment is going to do to your body. And we can understand it quite quickly. So then we can give you better advice on your diet, what to add in, what to avoid, but then what to supplement with. And instead of using, you know, a lot of doctors sort of boo-hoo supplements, and rightly so, a lot of supplements are so generic and cheaply made and synthetic that, you know, you're putting another form of rubbish into your body by just what you're listening to. You know, people come to me with tubs of supplements.
And that they're taking.
That they're taking, that they've collected over time by things I've heard. You know, the internet's a great place.
Yeah.
But it's also a place where people are buying the most random things over listening to something. Do you feel tired? Do you feel sad? You know, who's not?
Exactly. Well, that was me, to be honest. I was taking all these supplements until I did a methylation test with you, which was just a mouth swab, and I literally sent it off. And I came back and you said, you've got this methylation problem. Don't worry, nearly 50% of the world has it.
Yep.
And you said, I can't take folate. And I went home and I looked at all my vitamins that I take. I'm like, folate.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, without giving away your genetic, I mean, 44%.
Everyone knows I've got the motherfucker gene.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for saying it. So 44% of the population has this issue. So, yep. You know, we put folic acid into a lot of our grains in the early days to prevent spina bifida and spinal problems in babies. And it was a good idea at the time, but not realizing that so many people actually, it can stress their body.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and this is why, you know, we in my clinic, we talk about limiting grains and certain things, or eating the right grains for you. But with methylation, that's huge. I mean, you're talking about the engine room in your liver. That engine room affects a pathway called the methionine pathway, which is your major detox pathway. It's how you sulfation, it turns sulfites into sulfates. It affects taurine, so your energy production. So pretty big. It's also for DNA repair on the MTRR. So just off the MTHFR and the methionine pathway, you've got MTAR. It's like a big one for recirculating homocysteine and, as I said, DNA repair, which is huge. You've got things like on the methionine pathway, you've got your CBS enzyme, again, which can prevent you detoxing. You've got your COMT, which are all the things that Gary Brecker talks about, which affects your how you break down and convert your catecholamines, which are your like your stress hormones, like your adrenaline, your dopamine. Then we've got other things on the other side which affect things like sleep, insomnia, inflammation on the brain.
Wow.
Yeah. So all of a sudden people are trying to take pre-serotonin, they're taking tryptophan, they're taking melatonin, not realizing that their body is being shunted away from that pathway and creating inflammation because they don't understand how the body's working, but they're just taking supplements for supplement's sake.
And what people have to realize, all these supplements that they're putting into their body are then broken down into amino acids. Everything you put in your mouth is broken down.
Yeah.
And so the way I like to explain it, and I've explained it to friends and family, especially with mine, say you're making a recipe and my body doesn't like or can't produce butter.
Yeah.
How many recipes in my body need butter to make serotonin, need to make all these other hormones and neurotransmitters? Yeah. Just one little missing ingredient can affect the whole body.
Yeah, or can stress out the whole body too. So this is the thing. People are taking these supplements not realizing that they're actually causing more harm to their body. Mm. So nothing will not have a response. You know, so you've got to be careful what you take, why you take, and no one should stay on a supplement permanently without seeking advice from someone as to guiding them how often they should be taking it when they really need to. Okay, give your body a break from it, because some of these supplements in high doses can create kidney stones. They can create other issues in the body. So really you want guidance. And the reason people come back to see me is, okay, Steve, I finished these supplements. Do I need any more? Mm. Or, you know, my diet seems pretty good at the moment. I'm feeling good. Okay, maybe you need a break. Maybe your body doesn't need it, even if there is a genetic reason for it. Maybe your body just is working properly because you've got your diet on track and everything's working well and your stress under control.
Can your genes turn
on and off? Some.
So MTHFR, can it turn on and off?
Look, no. In my books.
Yeah.
No, you've got certain genes that, you know, can be influenced that you can turn them on and off. Really, when you've got an MTHFR, this is just something that's telling you how well your body's running. You have a lifeline with that. Like, as I said, generally the people with, let's say they've got a homozygous C677T, which affects that methylation pathway about 60 to 70%, they're the ones that are going to get health issues younger in life and not realize why. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you've got a 20, the CA.
What are health issues that they would experience?
It can be anything from digestive to really serious health issues, predisposing towards the big ones that I don't like talking about, like your cancers and so on. But you've got to realize to get down that pathway, you're talking about a disease process over decades.
That's coming back to the whole.
And what we're about is prevention. We're about trying to keep you healthy, trying to educate you about being healthy. And doctors try to do that as well, but they're so overloaded that they're just dealing with really crisis care. And that's the medical system.
So is the best prevention for disease having one of these genetic tests done?
Well, I think it's good to know how your body's going to work and how it's going to work in the future. So, yeah, I like not many people are going to come to my clinic and not get an MTHFR at least mm-hmm. tested. Some that I'm, you know, I might have screened the MTHFR and it's come back negative and I'm like, nah, there's something wrong. They're not detoxing properly. They're still getting really sick by, with their lifestyle. I'll go further and do a full genetic test. So I think in today's, for lifestyle, I think getting your genes checked and understanding how your body's going to react to its environment is essential.
Can you go to a GP for that or you have to go to a...
Look, if you go to not your general GP, but there are a lot of integrative doctors out there and they're growing. You know, we've got a whole group through, you know, you've got clinics like NIM, but there's a lot of other integrative doctors around.
Mm-hmm.
They do charge a lot for their time, so that's one of the difficulties for a lot of people is, you know, you're paying a lot to work with these doctors, but they can run, you know, Medicare tests and other things where they can save you money in one hand.
Mm-hmm.
But generally for genetic tests, you're going to always have to pay for it. There's no...
How much of out-of-pocket can people expect?
Probably somewhere for methylation, like the MTHFR, you're talking about $81. For something like what Gary Brecker, the five genes, you're talking about $260.
So it's not going to break the bank if it's going to lead to a lifetime of health.
And a full genetic scan that I do is about $280.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so there are other scans where out there they're up to about $900. I don't think you have to go that far. Like what I check is how are your genes going to affected by hormones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good if you're going to go on HRT and other things, yeah. Inflammation is the big one. So I'm looking at inflammation, I'm looking at methylation, I'm looking at detoxification. They're the big pathways that I'm most interested in clinic and seeing how your body works in that environment.
So you can test all those through the gene testing?
Oh, and more. Okay. It's like a 120-page report.
Yeah, right.
So usually I'll go through with the patient what I think is the most important in their gene description
mm-hmm.
and then we might work with their diet and supplementation according to that. And then again, we're going to review. The aim is to get people on the least amount of supplements that they ever need and encourage them what's going to feed their body the right way.
Well, even myself doing more research into the MTHFR gene, I went and told all my family about it because I'm like, if I've got it, you might have
it.
Spot
on.
My dad has always had high blood pressure and I still haven't gone and got this blood test. I will, I promise. Yeah. The homocysteine amino acid, is it?
Yeah, so homocysteine and cholesterol were the two big ones around heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, without homocysteine, you're not going to get those plaques forming. So, you know, is it the chicken or the egg? So the medical system realized quite early on that we've got a drug to help lower cholesterol. There's no drug, unfortunately, to lower homocysteine. So it was just thought of the easiest thing to do instead of, because changing people's diet, you know, they say is sometimes harder than changing their religion. So people get very comfortable with their diet and lifestyle. So the medical system goes for what it knows it can do. So it gives you a drug to lower your cholesterol to help prevent disease.
The easiest thing.
It's the easiest option. Yeah. You know, to do what we do where I want you to do the homocysteine check, see, you know, where your levels are at. Are they in a safe level? Because if your homocysteine is low, even if your cholesterol goes high, it shouldn't cause that much damage to your body. But if your homocysteine is high and your cholesterol is low, you're almost guaranteed that you're still going to form plaques in your arteries, okay? And that's pure science. And there are ways to lower your homocysteine. And that, again, we pick up on that methylation pathways.
And that's just my body has trouble producing one amino acid to lower the homocysteine.
Spot on.
Yeah. When it comes to kids and, say, ADD and overacting tantrums.
Yeah.
I've heard that can be a symptom, side effect of MTHFR.
Yeah, I mean, it's listed as one of the major things. I mean, you're affecting things like conversion of noradrenaline to adrenaline. You're affecting dopamine. So these things can have huge effects on these little young people.
So if a kid's eating Weet-Bix, something that's really high in folate that they can't break down.
and is stressing that pathway, absolutely.
You're going to see a spike in behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and it's not just the folate. It could be, gluten affecting the glutamate reflex. It could be, there are so many others like sugars, but a lot of the times by the time these parents have seen us, they've already tried diets. So I'm going to go into other things like, their retained neonatal reflexes and other things to help reintegrate their nervous system and their behaviors. Mm. But yeah, MTHFR is a big one. There's no way you're bringing a kid into my clinic with ADHD without me checking the MTHFR.
Anxiety and MTHFR.
Huge, especially when we're talking panic attacks. Yeah.
Okay.
And we're talking about the anxiety that you're leaving here today, you're driving home, everything, it's a beautiful sunny day, and all of a sudden you get stricken with anxiety for no reason. That's MTHFR. More than circumstantial anxiety where someone's upset you or something like that.
Yep.
This is anxiety that can come
just
out of the blue.
On.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, why am I feeling this way? And why am I, starting to panic over things?
So you can't exactly pinpoint what caused the anxiety. It's just there.
Yeah.
And what happens there? Your body can't produce something to
regulate itself.
Oh.
So it might increase your DHEA more than your cortisol, and that leads to panic attacks.
Mm.
Yeah. So it depends again how well your body is running, what neurotransmitters are affected, and what steroid hormone pathways are affected.
So if someone came to your clinic and they're on meds for anxiety,
yeah, we keep them on all of their meds.
Okay. Yep, but so do you test?
We will do all the testing. So our aim is quite often working with their doctors, and I get a lot of referrals from GPs, neurologists, all sorts of different fields of medicine and psychiatrists and psychologists to basically do the groundwork in the background to see if we can help them.
Mm.
And when we feel like they're safe, then they will discuss it with their doctor and see an appropriate way to reduce their medication.
So the way I think of it then is that not necessarily that they've got an imbalance in their hormones. They're just missing the building blocks to build certain hormones.
To support that pathway.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's what we try to do. We're trying to find the key or the missing link that's going to open the door, that's going to then allow their body to regulate the way it should.
Yeah. And that's the way Western medicine, I think, differs, is they see this cause, symptom, whatever. They won't go and be like, why are you low in serotonin? What makes compounds make up serotonin? Where does it come from?
Yeah, I mean, the Western medical system is there to support really crisis care. I mean, if you've broken your arm, you're going to see a doctor, you're going to get surgery, you're going to get them to patch you up. You might come see me for scar work afterwards.
Yeah.
But primarily our aim is to, work with the system and get them back on track.
Okay. So MTHFR, people go get it tested.
Huge, yeah. And you can also get it checked through your medical doctor as well. With your medical doctors, it will usually be a blood test. Through us and through integrative doctors, you'll usually do just a buccal swab, so it's a saliva test.
Can you ask for this when you go to the GP? I know like when you get certain blood tests, they will be like, you've sent me off and been like, okay, you need this of your thyroid tested.
Some will cost you more. So some tests, because you've got to have clinical indication to do these tests in under Medicare. Yeah, Medicare wants to know, why are you doing this test? So if there's clinical indications like there's, cardiovascular disease in your family and, you're suffering with panic attacks, well, yeah, there probably is reasoning to get it done. Most people I've found will pay to get it done because they want to know what's going on with their health.
Yeah. What I've learned from you and doing research and following people like Gary Brecker, whether it's you're on anxiety meds, thyroid medication, any type of medication, there is usually the imbalance that goes with it that you can test to see if it is a true illness in your body, or it's just the methylation
functional
problem. Yep.
So what you've got to remember is, as a health practitioner, I'm going to work with functional health.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to disease, we've always got to co-treat, with a medical doctor.
Yep.
You've always got to have your medical doctor, and they've got to be informed that you're actually seeing someone like myself or someone else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So once you're in a disease state, I've got to emphasize this, you never go off your meds without checking with your doctor. You never go off anything without getting checked. But in that functional grey area where your body's showing symptoms of something, but it can be reversed. It can be helped because we've unlocked the key. That's where we're going to do our best work. It doesn't mean to say, I mean, I've got a clinic full of people that have got diseases as well, and we're co-treating.
Yeah, right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I put up a little shout-out box last night on social media, and there were a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Number one question, the best way to release trauma from your body?
Wow. So trauma, I mean, look, there are some amazing different forms of kinesiology that work with trauma. There's like people work through birth trauma. They work through, you know, PTSD and significant trauma. You know, we've got great psychologists, psychotherapists and psychiatrists in these fields as well. I think if you really want to go down that pathway, read things like Gabor Mate. He's a Hungarian medical doctor who understood that most of the people he was seeing in clinic were coming to him because of trauma that they're carrying through their lives or generational trauma. You've got to remember most of us have been raised by parents that lived through world wars, you know, lived through hardships to come to Australia and do other things. So we're all carrying this trauma and we've been raised by this trauma, unknowingly by these beautiful parents. So understanding that the ways they've educated us, raised us and taught us to even love can be through trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding that and starting to understand how you raise your own kids and educate them, teach them, you know, you need to understand what you're really doing. So Gabor Mate and Dr. Shefali would be two of the biggest names that I would have a look at their books. For women, A Radical Awakening by Dr. Shefali is probably one of the most amazing books for women. I'm reading The Awakened Family by Dr. Shefali. She's phenomenal. But Gabor Mate writes about, you know, why diseases start in the body due to trauma, yeah?
Okay.
And how to look at unlocking that. I will do some of that work and so will my kinesiologist in our clinic through meridian work and understanding how emotions alter physiology within the body. So there's so many ways.
Well, I've worked with you on emotions. Yeah. I've cried in your clinic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, what I tell people is I can't stop you thinking, but I can stop the way your body holds on to that physiologically.
But, and I remember asking you this a few weeks ago because you told me my body was holding on to a lot of sadness.
Yeah.
And we released it. And I was like, but where does that energy go? Because in the law of physics or whatever, energy can't be created, it can't be destroyed, just moves on.
It does move on. And energy can move in different parts. It can be released from the body. It can also be absorbed by the body.
Mm.
And that's what we're doing. When we're doing an emotional release, we're allowing your body's physiology to open up a pathway that allows your body to run properly.
Oh.
And that's the essence of it.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, I didn't even know I was holding bloody sadness in my body. I was like, and as soon as you said it, I started crying. I was like, well, I must be.
Yeah.
Final question for me.
Yeah.
Tap water. Yes or no?
Look, we have some of the best tap water in the world.
Yeah.
Compared to third world countries where you're going to get amoebas and all sorts of things out of your tap water. Personally, I haven't drunk tap water in years. I have filtered systems mm-hmm. to get rid of the fluoride and chemicals that are in our water system. That's a whole topic that we could talk on for hours. So I would invest in, you know, I've got a plumbed-in water system at home that is reverse osmosis, gets rid of a lot of any residual heavy metals and toxins in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so clean. It tastes amazing. I'd never put anything into my body on that level on a daily basis because we know we need a certain amount of water that wasn't purified in some way.
Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Pleasure.
I always learn from you. So I hope the audience gets something out of this.
Yes.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Sarah.
It's us again. We're back. It's Tully and Sarah. And if you don't know, we have an activewear brand called Tully Lou. And we have Australia's favourite leggings, but not only do we have leggings, we've got hoodies, we've got outerwear, we've got everything that you may need for an active lifestyle. So we want to give you guys an offer if you've never shopped at Tully Lou or if you've shopped at Tully Lou and you just want $15 off your next order, you need to take this offer and it's TL Cherry, all caps, all one word, and pop that in at checkout and you'll get $15 off.
So head to our website, it's www.tallylou.com, or head to our Instagram, stalk our page, use the code, and let's get you all in some TL.
And welcome to the family.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.